I am sitting here with Istvan, and Istvan, why don't you just introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about what you do.
I'm Istvan Cherry, and I'm an architect on our new SQL Server Data Services project, which we just announced in MixO8. SQL Server Data Services is a very easy to use, ubiquitous, highly available data service, scalable, using two internet scale projects. We've been working on this for a year and a half, and we announced it today. We are using it. It's going to be publicly available later this year, and it will be fully available early next year.
Great. So just at a high level, why would I care about SQL Server Data Services?
Well, SQL Server Data Services enables new kind of scenarios. To me, one of the most exciting part of it is it's very easy to use. It's very easy to approach it. It's accessible using the REST APIs, basically HTTP APIs. Of course, it's using internet-friendly protocols. It's using XML on the wire. Mm-hmm. You can also access it using SOAP. It uses a flexible entity model, so it's a very easy. Again, you know, going back to approachable, you don't have to define a schema up front. You can just put data in there, and you can retrieve the data, you can query the data, everything is indexed. Mm-hmm. So overall, to me, I think the most exciting part about it is it's very easy to get going with it.
This is interesting, the flexible entity idea. Can you explain that a little bit more? I mean, what does that mean to my application if I have no schema enforced?
Yeah, your application actually could still enforce a schema, of course. The idea about flexible entities is basically a property bag, name-value pairs. Each entity is an object with name-value pairs. Somewhat similar, you could think about it as a JavaScript object model. And what it enables is that you can take any shape of data and output it as name-value pairs into the service. We index every one of those values, and you can use it in your queries to actually retrieve the entities.
Cool. So I can query any data that I put up there?
Yes.
I'll be able to do a query?
Yes, you
can query. And it uses REST or SOAP?
Yes. It's available either way. It's very fairly symmetric way. You can either use it in SOAP. We have a hierarchical model in the terms of when users sign up for the service, you could think of them, the users on the top level of the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Users can have multiple authorities. I will explain a little bit more about authorities. Authorities can have containers, and containers have entities. So one way to look at it, if you would look at the SQL Server Data Services on the top, its entry point, let's say, will have multiple, obviously, users or applications. You can think of them either way. So there's a user, or you can think of it as an application of the data service. So this is SSDS. The user can then create multiple authorities.
What's an authority?
And an authority is basically your entry point to the service. And it's basically when you provision an authority, we'll create a DNS name for you. So one example, the root SSDS name is, I'm just going to put it down here, is data.sitka.microsoft.com.
Okay.
This is what you use actually to provision users.
Uh-huh.
And then the user can provide an authority. For example, it creates, let's call it lists. Wants to create a lists authority, then you access it using lists.data.sitka.microsoft.com.
So it's like my own namespace?
Yes, you can basically create your own namespace, your own website almost in that sense. But of course, this is a storage website, it's a data website, you can put data in it.
Okay.
Then under these authorities, you have containers. And the containers are actually holding the entities, the actual data. Here are the entities.
Uh-huh.
Now, the interesting property of this hierarchy is that authority is basically giving us geolocation. So when you create an authority, this will, of course, will be stored the data for a given authority in a data center somewhere around the world. Microsoft, of course, has lots of data centers, will have storage presence in all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And an authority will basically store the data for a given authority in one data center. So you can use it as kind of as a geolocation service. Now, inside the authority, then we'll put containers, and under containers you have the entities. The benefit of containers is that all entities belonging to a container are in this one logical unit where you actually can use transactional consistency. So you can actually update entities, and when you run queries, they are using normal asset properties just like SQL Server. You can actually join entities later together. You can update them in a transactional way. So this is the nice property of containers.
Okay.
And then entities, of course, are these name value pair objects, and you can retrieve them, you can update them, you can query them.
Oh, that's great. So how does this change the architecture, though, of an application I'm building today? Like, if I have an existing application today, where can I fit in?
So I can kind of draw a loose analogy to normal applications by the following way. When you create an application today, you always have to reason about where do you put your data. Now, if you think of, let's say, today you would use a database like SQL Server, then what you do is you actually usually provision a database for your data in an existing SQL Server. So loosely, you could say that SQL Server is your authority, like in a normal application, because this is where you go to store your data.
Uh-huh.
And a container, again, loosely, is an equivalent of a database in SQL Server, because of course in SQL Server you have multiple databases, and usually the way, not always, but usually it's set up that way that an application is using a given database. And then inside the database, then you have tables, which of course in a SQL Server case, normally you have a very well-defined schema for your tables. Now in a Sitka case, in our service case, you have a flexible schema, so your entities can have different shapes, but eventually we'll also provide schema-type support as well. And then the analogy will be even closer, because a container will have multiple schematized entities in it.
I see.
This is the future direction.
So, if I'm architecting a solution today and I wanted to use SSDS, what are some of the things I need to consider? Because fundamentally, I'm using web protocols now. The data is not close to me anymore. I mean, how is this going to change? Is there a specific pattern I should be using in order to optimize my usage here?
Yes, and that goes kind of back to how people interact with web services. Usually you don't want to interact with web services in a very fine-grained manner. What you need to do is do more coarse-grained interaction. And so what you can do, for example, with the Sitka service is you can retrieve a set of entities with a request, because you can submit a query to SSDS, and in that query you can retrieve multiple entities. And these entities, of course, can have relationship across each other based on properties and other ways. Once you retrieve these entities, now you may want to display them, and you want to let the user edit them, and then you can send them back to the service. So this is kind of a normal pattern in any case, to say I'm retrieving data, I'm letting the user to manipulate it and then push it back to the service.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, in this case, since it's a web service, you may have internet distances,
mm-hmm.
So you have to be aware of the latency. And again, that's why you don't want to do actually very fine-grained manipulation of data. What you want to do is retrieve a bunch of objects and entities at once.
So how do you deal with concurrency, though? I'm using the application. How do I know between requests that it doesn't change from underneath me?
For concurrency, we are using the classic optimistic concurrency. Each entity knows its version, and you can actually use that version that when you're putting the entity back to the service to say update it only if the version is still the same version. So this way you can make sure that if another user or other application user loaded the same property, you discover the conflict, and then you resolve the conflict by saying either retrieve the data again or do some custom action based on it. So it's optimistic.
Okay, so we have concurrency. That's great. Okay, so concurrency is here. Well, you started to talk a little bit about some of the scenarios this enables, but where do you kind of see the sweet spot? Who should be caring about this right now?
The sweet spot right now is more like reference data which you want to make available anywhere you go, anywhere the application wants to access it. We are thinking it would be very interesting to provide data where mobile users can access it from this web service, because of course it's available from web service. You can use it It's basically the availability, the high availability of anywhere, at any place, at any time. You can put your data up into this service, and now it's available anywhere, anytime.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Aswan. This was good. I appreciate it.